Yo, what's up with you? And welcome to the Play Hater Podcast. And let me send a shout out to all the brand new listeners of the show. Yeah, big ups to all y'all motherfuckers. And do me a favor, tell everybody you know all about my motherfucking shit. And a shout out too to the not so new listeners, such as Cornell Wedge on Twitter. Yeah, I saw your tweet. And I'm back with brand new episodes. So you do me a favor as well and get caught up on all my shit. And tell every motherfucking body you know all about my shit's dip as well. Alright? Much appreciated. While I'm giving shouts out, let me give a shout out to the shallow chicks out there who constantly remind me that I'm a motherfucking sex symbol because of my sexy voice. And you know, sometimes I get caught up in the hateful shit so much that I forget that I'm a motherfucking podcast sex symbol. Yeah, I'm the Barry White of podcasting. I'm Mr. Tall, Dark, and Hateful. Thanks for reminding me to all the shallow chicks. Yeah, big ups for that, no doubt. So anyway, what we got going on today, coming up in the Raw Conversations podcast, I'm going to flash back to March of 2012, where this chick named Bonnie called into the show. And she's a 25-year-old biracial chick, at least she was at the time, who had daddy issues, mommy issues, she was raped at 13, she was dating and fucking thugs and criminals, and had all types of shit going on. Oh yeah, plus she identifies herself as white. Like I said, she's biracial. Anyway, so we talk about all of that confusion shit in the Raw Conversations podcast, available on Stitcher, Podomatic, iTunes, and worldwide. So make sure to check that shit out right now. And coming up within this podcast right here, I'm also going to flash back to June of 2011, 4 years ago, where I took the hater tour. And I called him to the show on BTR where this black militant dude was talking about, you know, whitey this, whitey that, he's castrating a black man, it's his fault, and all that bullshit. So yeah, I called into that show. And you know what I love about this particular episode is the fact that I love challenging motherfuckers, because like I said within the podcast, I think I'm smarter than most motherfuckers anyway. So when I call into these shows and somebody's up there talking about something that they honestly truly believe in, it's a challenge for me to get these motherfuckers to think about that shit and to honestly, you know, change their opinion or mind about something. And with this nigga right here, I think I did just that. I think I made him change his mind, because 5 minutes into our conversation, he had already flipped, talking about, you know what, I'm not gonna blame whitey no more. No, we need to take responsibility for our own shit. Which is what I believe. I think niggas need to take responsibility for their own shit. But you up on your own show before I call in talking about it's the white man's fault. And then I call in 5 minutes later and make you change your whole opinion about shit. That shit is interesting to me. I don't believe in that. I believe if you honestly believe what you believe in, then there's nothing that anybody can say to make you change your mind, unless you talking some bullshit. So in other words, I think this dude right here straight up talking some bullshit, because ain't no way a dude like me can call in and make you change your whole opinion on shit. So anyway, let's flash back to June of 2011. Player hater versus a militant black dude. Let's get into it.
And now for our feature presentation.
This show is intended for free-thinking and aggressive-minded people only. If you are timid, weak, or easily offended, this show is not for you. In other words, no punks allowed. Now, here's the player hater.
Hey, what's going on with you haters? And welcome to the show. And let me warn you right now, if you're not in the mood for hearing a bunch of black people sitting around talking about niggas and other black issues, yeah, you need to leave. Because today's show is all about that. All about it. Because I went to BTR the other day, and I found this show called The Arena, where the host was blaming whitey for everything, of course. You know, it's the white man's fault, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know how much I love shows like that. I don't love shows like that, but I love calling into shows like that. So that's exactly what I did. So let's go ahead and get into it, Joe.
I mean, I'm tired of, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of them controlling my mind, you know what I'm saying? And I'd be damned if I let them modify my behavior, man, because I'm African. You know, I don't know what y'all are. Y'all can be an American, whatever you call yourself nowadays. And, you know, whatever African people, their Africanity, they giving it away, I'm trying to take it, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to learn, you know what I'm saying? You can let these people control your mind and modify your behavior all you can, all you want. But I'm going against the grain. I want to open up the phone lines. We have 201-759. You're on the air with the Fakoly Dumbia Show. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate that piece, brother. Now, I heard you talking earlier about the dude who beat up his wife and all that stuff, which, you know, isn't cool at all. But I'm just curious, how was that the white man's fault, what that brother decided to do himself?
Well, you know what? Let me tell you, right? More than likely, he saw his father beating up his mother. And generations before that, his grandfather, his great-great-grandfather beating up his mother. You know what I'm saying? And for number one, they saw the white man or the oppressor, the enemy, the slave master, beating up our sisters. You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, the white man the black man is so castrated in a white man's system of capitalism and in corporate America. You know what I'm saying? The white man make them perform tasks that they don't want to do. You know what I'm saying? And when they get their check, you know what I'm saying, a whole lot of taxes is taken out, and you know they probably done been there for 10 years and deserving of a promotion. But some white boy who don't know his ass from a hole in the wall, they promote him just because of his color. So, and all of that, the brother get his pink slip. He be the last to get hired and the first to get fired. So.
Yeah, I got you. Now, you said the white man's got the black man performing tasks that he doesn't want to perform. What, you talking about working?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking that some tasks that he may or may not want to do. And on top of that, he may be doing the job of two people but only getting one paycheck.
So are you saying essentially, I'm just asking now, are you saying essentially that the black man is working twice as hard as the white man?
I would believe so. I would believe so, yeah. Yeah, they have to work twice as hard as white men. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, they'll hire a white man who has absolutely no experience necessary to be your boss, and they tell you that you got to train them. And you'd be like, well, how come you just didn't hire one of us brothers who already know the job and go hire Peter who don't know his ass from a hole in the wall, and I got to train him? That's a slap in the face, man.
Yes, sir. I feel you. Now, let me ask you this, because I'm trying to examine the whole mind control theory that you're pumping tonight. And wouldn't you say that your form of belief and extremism, in my opinion, is a form of mind control as well?
I would believe so. But really, my form of mind control is to get our people out of the mindset of the oppressor, man, and to more think outside of the box, you know what I'm saying? And to give him back all of his wayward mindset and his lifestyle and to choose one more befitting of their African ancestry.
Here come the drums!
Back to the Play Hater Podcast. And in case you're just now tuning in, today we're talking about black shit. Yeah, because I called into a show on BTR where the host was just blaming Whitey for everything that's wrong with the world, and you know how much I hate that shit. I straight up hate it. So I called in and I had to challenge old dude, and I love challenging motherfuckers because I get bored at times, and plus the fact that I think I'm smarter than most motherfuckers anyway. Really, I do. So yeah, I called in and let's continue on with our conversation.
I'm gonna tell you another intricate form of mind control. Check this out. You may have, you know, you ask, you know, you got a big black people to call into this show, right? Now, black people, their attention span when it comes to something that's important, like what we're talking about right now, bigger than a gnat. You know what I'm saying? But they can't sit on the phone and listen to us teach the people, but they'll sit at their TV attentively and watch the game. They'll watch the game. If the game stayed on for 5 hours, they stay glued to their seat watching the game. But you can't sit up here 2 hours and listen and try to learn something and try to make comments, you know, to what, you know, is said, you know, by the moderator. I don't understand, right, man.
Now, let me ask you, and trust me, I had that same discussion earlier today with another brother. So let me ask you, is that also the white man's fault? I'm just curious.
Some things we could blame on them, but the majority of that stuff, we got to blame on that. No, that's not the white man's fault. Because a white man don't put a gun to your head and make you watch the football game. You do that on your own choosing.
Right,
you
know, okay. So
I'm not gonna continue to blame the white man. I'm going to blame us. You know what I'm saying? Because what the problem is that we don't want to hold our people accountable for the stuff that they do and for their infallible behavior. You know what I'm saying? We don't always want to hold somebody else accountable. No, I'm not doing that no more. You know, I'm holding us, me and our people, for what we do is screwed up. I'm holding us accountable.
Really? It didn't sound like that earlier. It sounded like you were trying to blame the white man earlier.
Well, you know, I mean, some things, you know, is just concrete, you know, but a lot of things, man, you'd be like, come on, man. You can't blame this man for being who he is, man. I mean, if he's the oppressor, he's the oppressor. You already know what his ancestors have done to our people. You already know what they continue to do to us today. So what you gonna do? I mean, those people, you know, they came over here against their will. You have a chance. You have a choice to change or to come out of their world, man, and to try to get into African consciousness and do something for yourself and to garner resources for your people. But you don't, because what it is, it's easy to be lost. It's easy to be blind, deaf, and dumb. But it's very, very difficult to be conscious. It's very difficult to be aware. It's very difficult for you to plug out of their world, out of their society, and their way of thinking into more of an African consciousness. Because you're scared, because you know you're going to be marked. You're going to be ridiculed. You know what I'm saying? Somebody might trump up bogus charges to you. They might try to kill you.
Well, yeah, you raised an interesting point, and that's the fact that, and I thoroughly believe this, it's much easier to just remain ignorant and act ignorant than it is to obtain some knowledge and act like you have common sense. And not even act like you have common sense, but actually to obtain some common sense and knowledge. It's harder to do that, and a lot of people don't want to put in the work to do it. And it's really not all that complicated, but it's much easier just to remain ignorant and be lazy.
I mean, but when you become stay ignorant and lazy, I mean, that's a bad stain that you put on the rest of our people, because white folks will label you or these so-called bougie Negroes will label all of us for the actions of a few. You know what I'm saying? Hey. These young brothers out in the street, these brothers out here in these youth organizations, I mean, how the way they just, you know, kill each other, it's pitiful, man. You know what I'm saying? And a white man is not there to tell these Negroes, these little youngsters, to go put a gun to another brother's head and blow his brains out. Well, the thing is that they already have the seed of self-hatred put in them. You know what I'm saying? And it probably was put in them by their parents. You know what I'm saying? And their parents was put into them. You know what I'm saying? And it goes all the way back to our people who were slaves. You know, they told them that they wasn't nothing and that they would never amount to be nothing. They dumb, stupid, ignorant, lazy. And in this day, 2011, our youngsters, they feel the same way about themselves. So they mad. You know what I'm saying? So they going to go, the only source of power that they have is a gun. Or the only source of income that they have is some cocaine or some other drug to go sell to our people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and a white man don't even have to be there for these brothers to do that.
It's like a civil war going on with black people. And there's two sides. It's black people and there's niggas. The niggas have got people want to have a good time, infant ass niggas fuck it up. Can't do shit. Can't do shit without some infant ass niggas fucking it up. Can't do nothing. Can't keep a disco open more than 3 weeks. Grand opening, grand closing. Can't go to a movie the first week it come out. Why? Because niggas are shooting at the screen. What kind of ignorant shit is that? Hey, that's a good movie. That's so good, I got a bust a cap in here. Hey, I love black people, but I hate niggas, bro. Oh, I hate niggas. Boy, I wish they let me join the Ku Klux Klan. Shit, I do a drive-by from here to Brooklyn.
You are listening to the hottest relationship show in the country. Others claim to keep it real, but we keep it realer.
Is that a word?
Anyways, let's get back to the Player Hater Podcast.
Yeah! Hey! From jungle to Rima, from Tivoli to Natchusley. Waterhouse to Jerusalem, from Finland to Delacroix.
I you tell you to have a plan, and have some ambition, and make sure you know from in the Amagidian. So when you soon become a man, he know just where you stand. He know him who was said it, so him follow tradition. If Marcus can be steppy read, then where some man a pray? Can knowledge are the key, and if we set the people free, and highly high philosophy is African unity. Who know what just segregation and social impurity? The race is not just for the swift, but those who can endure. Make sure you have a steady footing in as I am done, and keep the thoughts secure. Your love is for the poor, but some little boy I bought some gun, them mama can't afford.
Now, you mentioned something about bougie people. Repeat that for me one more time, because I sort of missed that. Bougie people do what?
What I said is that bougie people, with the mindset of the oppressor, they will label the rest of the black people, you know, just like the way the oppressor labels us for the actions of a few. You know what I'm saying? If they see these, they look on TV and see that some youngster then blew the brains out of another youngster, and that brother's dead and he in custody, or they see a sister out there with chubby as hell with blue eyes and a blonde weave in her head, or she out there smoking reefer or acting a fool, screaming loud, or dancing provocative in the middle of the street and teaching her kids how to be a hoe, or brothers out there standing in front of liquor stores smoking and drinking. You know what I'm saying? They'll ride past like that, be like, all of them like that. Because when black people act bougie, they think that they white, you know what I'm saying? And they think that they better than the other black people. I'm like, you are no worse than them, because a white man got you too.
Right, let me touch on that point right there, because I was just talking about that very same thing early today. Now, I consider myself a snob. Doesn't mean I want to be white. Doesn't mean that the white man is my best friend. There's just certain people that I know I'm better than. And you feel the same way, brother, but you don't want to voice it the same way I do. You try to dance around it and call it something different, but it's basically the same thing, because you were touching on earlier how certain people don't want to do certain things, and you feel negatively about certain black people. So what's the difference between what you said and somebody else saying, or looking down on certain people thinking they're better than them?
I can't speak on you, because I don't know you, but I can speak on the bougie people that I've came across. You know, no doubt.
No, right now I'm talking about me and you. Right now I'm talking about me and you.
Okay.
I already said that I'm a snob. Right, I already mentioned that I'm a snob. You know, I look down on certain people, black or white. You know, and I know that I'm better than them, and I proclaim the fact that I'm better than them. Now I'm asking you: do you feel that way when you see certain people?
Hey, you know, it ain't no question, man. I'm arrogant as hell, man. And a lot of people say I'm arrogant too. You know what I'm saying? And I'll be like, hell yeah, I'm better than this fool. I'll be like, man, because I know that I'm that my behavior is not like his. You know what I'm saying? And you be like, come on, brother, man, come on, don't, you know, put those cigarettes or put that alcohol out, or that weed out, when you see, you know, elderly people coming around, man. Curb your behavior when you see, you know, grown-ups around, man. You know what I'm saying? And they still want to act a fool, and when elderly people come around, they got to clutch their purse because these niggas standing all around like they finna rob them or something like that. They driving down residential streets, man. They busting bottles, man. There's some areas in Chicago where I live, man, where rubbers on, condoms on the floor, you know what I'm saying, drug paraphernalia all on the ground, man, you know what I'm saying? So hell yeah, I believe I'm better than some of these niggas, you know what I'm saying? Because I know not to do that. I know that that's niggerish, man, that how you go in some of their neighborhoods or a lot of their neighborhoods, and, you know, it'd be debris everywhere, man. I would never throw no paper down or to be driving around in my neighborhood with no sounds blasting at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when I know that people got to get up and go to work in the morning, man. So yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Exactly. So with that being said, what's the difference now? And I'm assuming, because I would assume that you're not trying to act white, you're not trying to get close to the white man, and you don't consider yourself bougie. So what's the difference between you judging people and thinking you're better than somebody and somebody who you classified as bougie? What's the difference?
Well, you know what? I'm not bougie. I'm not bougie. A lot of these bougie people think that they shit don't stink. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of them will get a degree. I mean, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with getting a degree or getting an education, but a lot of these niggas who lived in the city, you know what I'm saying, when they get that degree, man, they change because they let the degree make them when you should be making the degree. Because let me tell you what a white man call a black person with a degree. He call him a nigga, just like one that they don't have a degree. And these people try to get around these people, get around white folks, and, you know, oh yeah, Master Boss, I'm not like him, you know, in the area where I just came from. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm trying to be like you people. You know what I'm saying? And, you know what I'm saying, the more and more they try to get close to these devils, man, and pledge their allegiance to them, man, these people get over, these people ostracize them, man. You know what I'm saying? If you move into a neighborhood with all white folks, man, first of all, a lot of them gonna act like they down with you, but then again, you know, they gonna try to find ways to get you out, probably, you know, draw swastika or, you know, put some negative on your porch or on your garage. Or if that don't move you, they just gonna move out. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I mean about bougie. And I'm no means bougie. I'm very humble when it comes to that.
You can follow the Player Hater on Twitter at Mr. Player Hater. That's MR Player Hater on Twitter.
Positively clear, the people in the world keep forgetting them past and them gone astray. Some may burn them every day. That them no love conspiracy as a talk and never fail. Positively clear, the people in the world are lost with them top class. Never way, think you're actually there. You're two or you go buck and you a snake in the grass. Me and the youth are tried one away. Melchizedek way, yeah. So if you sing and the youth come trodding through the earth, we have to try the King Selassie way. Yeah, yeah. Trodding this one away. Have to try this one away. Yeah, yeah. Them send 50, 60, 70 big and me slew them off in space and one day. Well then, you see, the people in the West gone crazy. Not for big up them chest yet, them they in a slavery. Them can't yam no food without no money. So foolish is the man in food full time and yet him on way. I tell you, take it, plenty ways. Clean up your body, get your youth, no bother.
As a sister, I just wanted to add on to the conversation that you and the brother was just having calling in, because I think that the two of you are a perfect example of what we all need to realize, and it is that we are a collective as a nation and as a race. And no matter what anybody else thinks of us, we are a collective. So I just want to say that we have to be careful when we are examining our collective condition, because it could be easily translated as negativity. It could be easily criticism that's not healing or helping, but further hurting us as individuals at the level that we are at. We, you know, we spend a lot of energy focusing on what we think of each other as far as, you know, how messed up we are. We spend a lot of energy thinking about what other nations and races think of us. And I'm not saying that these things are not important, but I think, you know, as a mother, as a sister literally and figuratively, you know, that we have to start caring what we think about ourselves. So, you know, when I first started coming into my consciousness, I found it a lot like you. I felt a lot like you, if I could just judge that from how you're talking. But now, 10, 12 years later, the only thing I can do is act. I have a college degree. And I live in a neighborhood where the niggas do ride down the street at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning past my house waking my kids up. Well, I do have to step over glass. But you know what I do? I round the teenagers up and the drug dealers that's on the corner. They see me out there cleaning it up. Come on and clean it up with me. If I'm standing here in our neighborhood, I'm about to rap with you. We about to chop it up. And we have to realize that the first thing we have to do is build from the inside out. And that's individually and collectively.
Yo, let me jump on this real quick. Why is it that so many black folks have a collective view of blackness, as if everything that one black person does represents the entire black race? Yeah, I don't happen to share that same feeling. Nah, I'm a straight up individualist. What I do represents me and me only. What you do, in my opinion, only represents you. It does not represent me. I don't have a collective view of things at all. And why is it that so many black folks are identified by their blackness? Look, I'm a man first and I happen to be black. My blackness does not identify me. And as far as this collective thing, once again, if you have such a collective view of things, why is it that so many of these militant black folks, they don't even like niggas? They don't want to include niggas in this exclusive group. If you have such a collective view, then you know you got to include niggas, right? But you don't want to include niggas. Because why? Nobody likes niggas. So if you have such a collective view, then really, why are you hating on niggas? Come on now. Let's keep this shit real.
The difference in being a snob, which usually means having confidence. And he was asking, well, what is the difference? Well, you can be a snob because you worked hard, you've earned your money, you feel like, as a sister said, you're in a certain position, and you've established yourself to a certain degree. Well, that eludes confidence. But
right.
My question to him is, does that mean, you know, that by feeling that you're better, does that mean that you disrespect the other people? Do you disrespect your brothers and sisters?
Okay, because, well, I got his line open, Donna. 201, do you care to comment on that?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I thought I made it clear, but it's all good. Peace, sister. No, I don't disrespect anybody. I mean, I'm very respectful. I disrespect the people who I don't respect. It's really that simple. But no, I mean, it's a matter, I consider myself a snob because I know that I'm better than most people. based on some of the things you mentioned, plus just mere fact that I know I'm better, smarter, whatever, than most people. So that makes me a snob in my mind. But am I disrespectful of those people? No, because I choose to not surround myself with ignorant people. I don't like niggas.
Okay.
Well, you already better than people anyway, man, because you a king, man. You know what I'm saying? You come from a great heritage of other kings, of past kings. A lot of these people out here that you feel that you better than, you know, it's, you know, within our African nation, a lot of them are kings, but they acting like paupers. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them don't realize their kingship. You know what I'm saying? And instead of them acting like kings, they acting like niggas. And their sisters, who are queens, they acting like niggas. But see, you're starting to realize yourself. Well, you realize your self worth and you realize your kingship. They don't. That's why you say, well, man, I'm, you know, pretty much better than them. You know
Exactly. Hey, can I ask a question? I'm going to cut you off, brother, while because I'm about to break out. But, yeah, I just want to ask the sister if she's still on the line, as well as yourself, and I don't know if the other sister's still around, but I just want to take a poll, a just quick poll, and find out who on the line don't like niggas.
216 and 312, your line is open.
love them because I have to, but don't like them very much.
Well, you know, first of all, what we have to do is we have to find out the origin of the word nigga. The origin of
That's what I was going to say. I was going to ask, what's the
nigga? Wait, my brother, before we even do that, look, everybody on the phone right now mentioned the word nigga. So you already know what you consider a nigga. So just answer the question. Because obviously everybody knows what a nigga is, because everybody on the phone right now mentioned nigga.
Not only do I hate other niggas, but I hate the niggerism that's in myself. You know what I'm saying? Because I still have some niggerish ways. You know what I mean? And really, the word nigger comes from the Latin word necro, meaning something that is dead. So when the white man gave Africans the name nigger, he made them dead to their name, to their culture, to their morality, their folk ways and mores and their norms. You know what I'm saying? So this nigga we have walking around here, got his pants hanging down, calling his sisters bitches and hoes, and walking around with his thing in his hand, and like, sister, go ahead.
So these niggas that y'all is better than, do y'all think that they could be as good or better than y'all?
No, of course they can.
Of course they can.
Of course they can.
If they realize who they are, a lot of them don't want to realize who they are. If you ask these same Negroes who they are, they African. Man, I ain't African. You African. I'm American. You American.
So our goal is not to collectively raise ourselves. It's just to raise the individual self and leave all the niggas behind.
I am down for that. We need to at least give these niggas an opportunity to raise the level of their consciousness. If they don't want to do it, then you let them go.
Yo, so let me send a shout out to Good Morning LA on Twitter. That's at Good Morning LA on Twitter. I had a conversation with a girl yesterday, as a matter of fact. Didn't realize she was only 18, and I didn't realize that at all. But she was a smart chick, so we had a nice little chill, kitty conversation. And it's going to be featured soon on the Play Hater podcast. Look out for that. Also want to say big ups and shouts out to Lord Q. Spoke to that brother earlier this week. And actually, look out for the very first episode of the Urban Snobcast, featuring Lord Q and myself. Yeah, just two black dudes sitting around talking about being snobs. Yeah, me and him. So yeah, look out for that as well. And also, you can download my shit on iTunes. Just go to iTunes and do a search for The Player Hater. It'll take you everywhere you need to go, and there you can write a comment, you can rate it, and you can also download it to your iPhone or your iPod. And don't forget to tell your friends about my shit as well. You've been doing a good job at that, I gotta tell you. You've been doing a real good job of spreading the word and telling your friends about it. Yeah, got a lot of new listeners, and I want to say big ups and shouts out to all of them as well. Alright? Alright, haters, until next time, yo, just keep your hate up.
Fuck you, nigga. You's a motherfucking player, hey.